taking you home with some Doobie Brothers and the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump, along with Caleb Hatch, and of course, we've got you connected on the Parkview Sports Medicine text line at 46862. Whatever's on your mind, hot topics you've got today, fire away on the Parkview Sports Medicine text line at 46862. Coming up on the show, we've got Peter Hood from Fox Fort Wayne. He will join us coming up later this hour. Of course, we are trying to get as many of our TV sports personalities from here in Fort Wayne onto the show. Coming up tomorrow, we're going to have Glenn Marini from Wayne 15. Coming up next week, we'll have Chris Ryan from Fort Wayne's NBC. So we'll try to get everybody covered, as many as possible, before we get started into full-blown high school football coverage, which starts coming up in, 3 weeks from this Friday. Hard to believe that's opening night for the high school football season already. And if you haven't done so, make sure you contact us regarding your high school football sponsorship. It's due. Payments are due by the end of the month. if you haven't told us that you're going to be a sponsor, please make your payment. But we've got high school football coverage, of course, our 7 hours every Friday right here on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. It will start with a couple of hours of the Sports Rush up till 6, and then Jim Shevlin and not Tommy Shegler, but Shannon Griffith and Doot will bring you the pregame show this year up until 6:50. Shannon Griffith joins me for the play-by-play, and then we'll just gang up and all have some type of party at Pizza Hut with the Indiana Physical Therapy post-game show right after the game ends, all the way up till 11 o'clock. You can count it down. It's 7 hours of coverage of high school football every Friday, only here at 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. So, in our next hour, by the way, we're also going to have a chance to talk to Joel Erickson. He is the Indy Star beat writer that covers the Colts, and today was the start of Colts training camp. We'll talk a little bit about training camps opening up all over the NFL, and there was news, especially out of Green Bay, and we'll talk about that. There was some news out of San Francisco today, too. That's coming up on the show. College football realignment. You know, this all kind of ballooned last week, Caleb, when we were doing our high school football media day special on Friday. So we haven't had a lot of time to talk about the move with Oklahoma and Texas, which now looks as good as done, going to the Southeastern Conference. Is this going to, in some ways, blow up one of the Power Five conferences? Is it? I mean, you look at the Big 12 and it appears to me that there may be a plucking and a picking of some of the teams in the Big 12. Will they be able to sustain? Will they be able to continue as a conference? They might end up being the Big 6, which at that point, I think they got to change their name. Instead of the Big 12, they got to become the Little 6. I mean, you can't be big if you lose half your members. But I think there's going to be some teams in the Big 12 that end up going other places. And of course, when you lose the two, what are they? The two kingpins, the main players in the Big 12. The two they were really the two kind of founding members, weren't they? That was kind of who this conference was built around. And losing them, I think it really hurts the Big 12. But I'm just wondering if this is like a first domino to fall, and we're going to see all kinds of mass realignment coming up in the next couple of years.
The Big 12's only hope at this point would be if they can pluck Houston and Cincinnati from the AAC. I mean, that's their only hope. Problem is Texas Tech and Baylor and trying to think who else, TCU, and I think there's one other school. I mean, they're already looking at the Pac-12. So, but I mean, for the Big 12 to continue to exist, they're going to have to keep the schools that are currently in the conference in conference. Good luck with that. And hope that adding Houston and Cincinnati is enough, at least on a football scale it is, and across other sports, but you lose the cachet. I mean, they don't have a name brand school in the conference for football now. I mean, it's simply not there. I mean, TCU and Baylor have been good here and there over the past decade, but they're not name brands like Texas and Oklahoma. And, you know, Cincinnati's been good for a while now, but again, they're not a name brand. Houston, same deal. So there's a lot of trouble there. And when you look at at the Pac-12, I mean, they can just expand. And also, let's not forget the Mountain West and all this as well. You know, could some of those schools move up, or could one of these schools in the Big 12 who's left out go to the Mountain West?
What does Oklahoma State do?
Yeah, I mean, and that is the ultimate question, right? I mean, they're the
outlier to me.
Yeah.
Because if you lose Oklahoma and lose your in-state rival to another conference, what does Oklahoma State then do? Which direction do they go?
And they're probably the biggest football brand left in the conference.
Iowa State has had some good years, mm-hmm. but that may be Coach Campbell more than anything else.
Yes, very much so.
And if they lose Coach Campbell, because if they were in a smaller conference, I'm not sure if Coach Campbell would stay. He might seek to go elsewhere mm-hmm. and get into a bigger, higher dollar major conference. So, you know, Iowa State has been talked about as far as a potential Big Ten suitor.
I don't know about that. I mean, Kansas, yes. Iowa State, not sure. I mean, the Big Ten doesn't just add anyone, well, except when they added Rutgers.
Yeah. Well, they wanted to pluck from the East. And
yeah.
So they went out, got Maryland and Rutgers. And, you know, here's my thought. When you look at where this is and where this is going, if you're the Big Ten and you do go get Kansas, okay, does that mean you want to get another team that's close to Kansas, or do you want to get another team that maybe balances things and you go east and find someone? Would you find a team like Pitt or West Virginia willing to come on board to the Big Ten, and would they make the Big Ten a better conference?
I don't think Pitt would leave the ACC. I mean, they're pretty firmly entrenched there. And that was part of the last, you know, realignment when the Big East, you know, imploded on the football side and then came back as a basketball conference.
What would Pitt be losing to leave the ACC? They know, I mean, they haven't really competed. I mean, they've been good in football, but they haven't necessarily competed for the conference championship in football, have they? I mean, their basketball team took a major dive, and it was a problem for a few years. It's starting on the way back up, maybe. But, you know, I don't know what they bring to the Big Ten, but I guess I'm just asking, what opportunities does this give a conference like the Big Ten? And I know there's already been conversations with Kansas, and there might be some mutual interest there.
Kansas makes sense. Pitt, to me, I mean, they're pretty entrenched in the ACC. The basketball program really took a nosedive basically when they switched, you know, from Big East to ACC. Also, though, Jamie Dixon left, and that was a huge
right.
loss for the basketball
and
program.
And that's what I see with an Iowa State is mm-hmm. you lose the coach, you're going to lose the program. And I don't know if they can sustain the success that they've had. Oklahoma State clearly has the money and the booster support. They're in the heart of a strong football area, but I don't know. I mean, they've got a solid basketball program. They've got baseball. They've got, you know, another sports. But the question is, what do they bring to the Big Ten if the Big Ten was to have interest? Because Oklahoma is a little bit out of the blueprint as far as what the Big Ten has in their conference right now. You get kind of an outlier. Oklahoma, Kansas, Nebraska. I guess it doesn't matter with air travel now primarily being chartered flights, you know, what's an extra 15 minutes in the air to get to a game. But I don't know where would this leave the conferences? I guess the question is, you think the Big 12 can survive or cannot survive if they were to lose Oklahoma and Texas, which it appears very obvious that they are. They're going to lose those two.
I don't think they can survive. I think we could see essentially a conference of leftovers plus a couple of other teams poached. I mean, it'd be great if they could pull off some sort of Texas conference, but the breadwinners with A&M and Texas in the SEC now, as we expect moving forward, it's kind of hard to make that work. So Baylor,
but A&M
TCU,
doesn't want to be in a conference. A&M is already talking about the Pac-12, right?
Yeah, I mean, they don't want to be with Texas, but I don't think they're going to have a choice.
They're not going to have the out.
Yeah.
Or the money to get out
yeah.
of the SEC.
Also, this is all great, but look, Texas has been bad as a football program outside of about like 1 year, a couple years ago, Tom Herman's only good season. With them, I mean, they have been bad since they fired Mack Brown, and they were you know, not really nationally relevant since that 2009 loss in the BCS title game to Alabama back when they had Colt McCoy. This is a program that, you know, to me, it's another Nebraska situation where the boosters and the fans expect them to be competitive, you know, for national championships, and it's just simply not there.
But there's a difference between Texas and Nebraska. Texas does have the boosters. They have the money that supports the program, but they also have Dallas and Houston in Texas, two media markets that are right up there in the top 10 that, in fact, I think, what are they, both top six or seven?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And so you've got two major media markets that you then bring in to the SEC. Now, even though I know Texas is in Austin, it's not in Dallas, it's not in Houston, but the fact it's in Austin kind of just draws from both markets, because I still think that Texas is kind of the state school. Everybody else has their fan base, but Texas owns mm-hmm. the state. And so I think getting Houston and Dallas, ultimately it comes down to dollars and cents trying to get into the biggest markets. That's why the Big Ten got Rutgers. They didn't care about Rutgers. They cared about having a presence in the New York and Philadelphia markets and stretching into further markets for the fact that the Big Ten network. They wanted to sell more cable deals, and so they stretched into high populated areas in the East Coast that they were hoping would attract more subscribers and more dollars to the Big Ten network. So they said, sure, Rutgers, we'd love to have you.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the only reason why they did it. I don't think there's been any real benefit for Rutgers or the Big Ten by making that move. I mean, it's been an embarrassment up until, I think, the last year or two, honestly, when you're looking at the football and basketball side.
Again, it all comes down to coaches.
Yeah. And
because I think in basketball, they've now got the coach that can build that program and has been building the program. In football, they finally have a coach. Giano, I think, is the last time Rutgers was relevant, he was the
under
coach.
Him. Correct. I don't know if he can do that again, but at least
they're
giving themselves
a chance. Championship, but they're not going to be the embarrassment and the, you know, the bottom of the cellar in the Big Ten. So, I mean, they were a laughingstock. It was more not if you would beat Rutgers, it was who could beat them by the most. Now you're starting to see kind of a more respectable Rutgers team, and even though they haven't gotten the wins and losses yet, like, you know, to compete for anything worthwhile, they still are a much better football team, and you can see the improvement rapidly under Greg Schiano. 46862, the Parkview Sports Medicine text line. So the Colts officially got on the field at Graham Park. They have opened up camp. We are now just, what, about 5.5-6 weeks away from getting the football season started, the NFL season started, and big news coming out of Colts camp. Braden Smith has signed an extension. They had two players they were targeting to get the extensions done, Braden Smith, Darius Leonard. Smith is done. The number might surprise you. It is a high number for an offensive lineman, $70 million over 4 years. That averages out to $17.5 million a season. The problem I see is it sets the precedent. Colts are going to end up having, what, $60 or $70 million invested in their offensive line, because if Braden Smith is worth $70 over 4 years, what is Quentin Nelson going to demand when he comes up for his extension next year? I mean, I think if 17.5 is the number for Braden Smith, is it 24, 25 for Quentin Nelson? It would be a ridiculous number for an offensive guard, and generally guards don't get the same kind of money that a tackle gets in the NFL. But if I'm Quentin Nelson's agent, I'm looking at what the Colts just put out for Braden Smith, and I'm saying that sets the number. That's the one we're going to go in and negotiate off of, and it's got to be a much higher number than what Braden Smith got.
$25 million seems realistic, and regardless of position, he is one of the best players in the NFL, right?
Yeah, and the average pay for an offensive guard is average, I think, is like $10 or $11 million. So, you know, he would be more than double. I don't know who's the highest paid offensive guard in the league right now. We'll have to check that, because clearly that's going to be one bar. The other bar that's been set is what Braden Smith just got for his contract, and clearly, the I think if you evaluated each offensive lineman against one another, the Quentin Nelson would be considered the Colts' top offensive lineman right now, even with Fisher coming in at left tackle to replace Anthony Costanzo. And Braden Smith's done a really nice job. I mean, he has given the Colts even more than they expected when they drafted him in the second round. In fact, when they drafted him, they weren't even sure that he was going to be a tackle. He was kind of slated to probably play guard. He ended up being assuming the tackle position only because the Colts had an injury and they had to find a tackle. They put him in there. They plugged him in, and he played great, and he's kind of had the position ever since. So he's been much more than the Colts could have ever expected. But Quentin Nelson, man, he just saw the bar get set, and he's probably his eyes probably got big with the money that he's going to end up getting. Also, Aaron Rodgers had a lot to say today in a press conference at Green Bay's training camp, and we're going to tell you exactly what we learned from Aaron Rodgers, some of the outspokenness that we got from Aaron Rodgers today. Also coming up on the program, the Cleveland Indians are no more. They're playing out the string. This is the last season for the Cleveland Indians. If you're a Cleveland fan, what do you think about the change of the name? I mean, we've got it all coming, including Peter Hood, who's going to join us. We've also got prizes to win. We've got tickets to go see the Black Crowes down at the Ruoff Music Center down in Noblesville. We got a pair of tickets for that. And it is Wednesday, right? We are on a Wednesday edition of the Sports Rush, so we do have White Sox Wednesday. We've got four tickets to go to a White Sox game, and we'll give those away before the show is over. Man, is it going to be a fun 2 hours right here on the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Simone Biles, who stepped aside from the team competition after feeling pressures of mental health, she decided that she didn't have her mind in the right place to compete. And, of course, she then withdrew from the team competition after one event in the all-around team all-around competition. She was scheduled to participate tomorrow in the individual all-around, and she has indeed withdrawn from that as well. The only chance now for Simone Biles is going to be in the event finals, which will start, I believe, on Sunday. I think they're Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday of next week. And so we'll see how she feels, how she's doing. You hear a lot of polarizing comments regarding Simone Biles. There are a lot of people that are attacking her. I mean, some serious attacking, saying that she quit on her team, that it was a selfish move. I'm shocked that people are that critical of someone. This is the Olympics, and it's the Olympics to her as much as it's the Olympics to us. I feel if there's any selfishness that's displayed when you start targeting and attacking Simone Biles, the selfishness is you, not her. It's because you want her to perform for you so you can feel the pride of winning a gold medal. And because you're a little hurt, you're going to target her and take it out on her for feeling like she had to step aside. Here's the thing that you keep hearing people talk about, is that gymnasts do tricks that are extremely dangerous. In fact, they're far more dangerous than what an average person would be willing to even try to do. And most of the gymnasts have probably been through injuries trying to master some of these moves that they do. When they go, 12, 15 feet in the air and spin, flip, turn, and have to somehow come down on their feet, they are like a cat. You know how cats land on their feet? For some reason, I mean, gymnasts are just like that. They go up and do all this flipping around and spinning and twisting, and somehow they land on their feet. But if all of a sudden you don't feel focused and you don't feel like you can accomplish that safely and you've lost confidence in your ability to do that trick and fear has taken over your body, and that's what apparently had happened to Simone Biles, is it healthy, number one, mentally, and healthy physically for her to continue on if she is risking injury because of what could happen as a result of not hitting on one of these landings? Like I said yesterday, I'm not going to get on Miss Simone Biles. Yes, I'm disappointed. Yes, I would have liked to have seen her participate. But like I said yesterday, that's greed and selfishness on my part. That's because when I turn on the Olympics every 4 years, there's only certain events and certain athletes that I really look forward to seeing, and Simone Biles is one of those. The hype that surrounded her going into this Olympics, it made you want to see her compete because she's considered, if not the greatest, one of the two or three greatest gymnasts of all time, and in fact does tricks that no other gymnast has even dared to try, and she completes them and gets high scores. So I'm not going to be one of those that bashes Simone Biles for her decision. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. So Aaron Rodgers had a press conference today, and it's the first time reporters have really had a chance to dive in to all the off-season drama surrounding Aaron Rodgers. And to his credit, I guess it's credit, he didn't hold back. He didn't give the politically correct answers all day. And so it left you almost with a jaw drop moment. Some of the things that he was willing to say about his employer to reporters right there while he's still employed. Let's put it this way, Caleb. We would have to throw the ball really, really well to be able to get away with what what he said for us to say about our employers. They don't listen to me. You know, they make decisions without me, and I've earned the right to be part of those decisions. And I mean, he just unleashed it. And essentially what Aaron Rodgers' position is, I guess in a nutshell, at least if you listen to the entire press conference, is that he feels he has earned a position. And he felt like there were players before him that had also earned the position and weren't respected in what they had earned. And that's a position to have a voice with the decision-making of a franchise. Doesn't mean you make the decision, but at least if there is a decision that's being considered, that you include those key players on your team. He mentioned Jordy Nelson. He mentioned Charles Woodson as guys that he felt got a raw deal from the Green Bay Packers, and now he feels like he's in the position where he shouldn't be surprised by personnel decisions. He shouldn't be surprised by a draft pick. He shouldn't be surprised by a trade. He shouldn't be surprised by a cut player. And that he just feels like it's happened too often. He's been disrespected, and it eventually wore him out. And so that, in a nutshell, if I kind of take the entire context of everything he said without a specific quote, I would say that was the overriding theme of today's press conference, is I want to have a say. I know the players in this league. I know personnel. I know guys that have been here in the past, what they've been able to contribute to this team. And I think I've earned that right to be in the room to help make those decisions, or at least to give my input into those decisions. Is he right?
I mean, when you're at his level of experience and your level of talent, and you've been with the organization your whole career, you at least have a seat at the table and should be allowed to say those things.
Isn't there an opportunity for an organization to make somebody believe they've got a voice when you really aren't listening? I mean, it doesn't mean he's going to call the shots, but it's to give them the impression that you're showing them that respect, but yet they really don't have a vote. They really don't have a say, but they leave the table believing like they've been heard.
Well, it's the NFL and not the NBA, so there's a big difference. I mean, the players call more of the shots.
The players have full control.
In the NBA, the NFL is not like that yet, but I think that is changing, is it not?
Well, I mean, in the NBA, players can basically call their shots and say they want to demand a trade, and in most cases, the teams don't have much they can do in those situations besides trade them.
And in the NFL,
Aaron Rodgers just tried it.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't work. So at this point, the NFL is different than the NBA, because how many players do we know that have gone to an organization and demanded a trade?
Well,
in the
Stafford,
NBA,
NBA. In the NFL, Stafford just did it.
Did he demand a trade?
He requested a trade.
Requested a trade. But again, the NBA players believe they have that control.
But the players also have a larger piece of the pie.
The revenue share?
Yeah.
So what, the power comes with the money? Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, that's how it works anywhere. I mean, the NFL, it's the owners and Roger Goodell. They have all the power. In the NBA, it's the players. I mean, yes, there are owners of the teams, but we don't know the team owners' names in the NBA like we do in the NFL, because owners have so much more power and control in the NFL, and they are the face of their franchise. Yeah, there may be players here and there, but they come and go. Whereas the NBA, I mean, your star player is the face of your franchise.
Yeah, and the owners really are in the forefront of running the league, where the NBA appears to be run more by the commissioner. In the NFL, Roger Goodell might be the face of the NFL. He's not necessarily the decision maker. He's making the decisions on behalf of the owners, and he is their voice. I mean, it's...
And it says a lot, doesn't it?
Well, that's basically
with how many poor decisions he's made over the past decade.
Yeah, but he's not... Adam Silver, to me, tries to be more neutral, middle ground, respect what the players want, what the owners want, and he negotiates it somewhat. And he tries to get owners to give where he feels like the players have a point. I don't think Roger Goodell is trying to sway owners to the player's side. I think he is trying to basically be the guy that can sugarcoat and candy coat what the owners want and try to get the players to buy into it. And because ultimately all his money that he makes, and he makes a ton of it, comes directly from the owner's pockets. I mean, that's really the way it all works out. So yeah, the bottom line, yes, everything comes down to money.
Yeah. And
follow the money.
The owners somehow are happy with the job Roger Goodell has done in the midst of multiple scandals that have been a real stain on the league. I mean, whether it's been domestic violence, starting with the Ray Rice incident. I mean, that escalated. That was a disaster, PR disaster. You can go into, and I don't want to get into the politics of this, but the kneeling, players kneeling and all of that. I'm sure there's a few more obvious ones. I mean, the hit job the league had on Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, that was just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, those are some of the examples I think of quickly. And Goodell has been in charge for all of those incidents.
46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Your chance to weigh in at 46862. I'm going to save this Cleveland story, because I really do want to talk about this, because this came kind of out of the blue. Just all of a sudden, Cleveland released this very well done produced video that announced that they were changing their name. And we're going to talk about that. Also coming up, Peter Hood on the other side of the break. Don't forget, we've got the Tin Caps Rooftop Party coming up on August 12th. That is a Thursday night at Parkview Field. You know, they call those Thirsty Thursdays, and I hope you do show up thirsty, because when you get your ticket for the Tin Caps Rooftop Party with the Sports Rush and me and Caleb, your ticket is going to include beer. Beer me. Draft beer included, plus wine, plus all-you-can-eat food. And it's probably a priority in that order, right? Draft beer, wine, food. Oh, and you also get a commemorative T-shirt. So get your tickets. Do not delay. Be a part of our rooftop party presented by Glenbrook Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram coming up on Thursday, August 12th. Your tickets are available right now by going to 1380thefan.com, 1380thefan.com. And, of course, proceeds will benefit Cancer Services of Northeast Indiana. Peter Hood, Fort Wayne's Fox 55. He joins us on the other side of the break right here on the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Coming up in our next hour, we'll talk to Joel Erickson from Indy Star. He is going to join us to talk about the Indianapolis Colts getting started on the field. We actually have something to talk about with how the Colts looked in practice at Grand Park down in Westfield. Joel Erickson coming up at 5:35. Well, right now we continue with our TV Sportscasters Week here on the Sports Rush. And, of course, the entire week was created and in some ways was the brainstorm of both Zach Groth and Peter Fox. It was just a simple gimmick to get onto the radio program, and it worked because they're both our first two guests here on Sportscasters Week as we get to know the people that bring you the TV sports on our local news channels each and every night, or on weekends, whatever the case may be. But I think Peter was feeling a little jealousy toward the big man he works with in Justin Prince, because Justin was on. So let's find out all the details about this, because Peter Hood is joining us on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. All right, Peter, it's equal now. It's Justin 1 and you 1, so you can stop your whining.
Well, I'm glad to know that my persistence at Media Day paid off. And when I say persistence, I mean, you probably used a better term for it, whining a little bit. Listen, Brett, I thought that after I came to the studio last year, we were on good footing, we were on good terms, and then I hadn't heard from you in a while. So I was just making sure everything was okay between us.
Peter, you do understand. I wasn't even in the studio for like 9 months. I mean, you know, you got to give me a little bit of a break.
That is fair. I guess I didn't consider that. I was thinking a little bit too selfishly along those lines. But I'm glad to be on and appreciate you and Caleb having me today.
It's great because we kind of figured like, you know what, this is a perfect time of year before we get all going with football season to have our local sportscasters and just to learn a little bit more about the people that bring us our local sports on the TV sets every night and on the weekends. And so I really enjoyed our conversation with Zach yesterday. Looking forward to talking to you today. I do have to start, though, with a sports topic before we get into all about Peter Hood. By the way, did you hear what I almost did yesterday?
No, I did not.
Yesterday, I was given a little plug for the show today, and we were running tight on time, and so I tried to spit it out really fast, and I did almost say it was Peter Fox from the Hood. And I caught myself. So, you know, it is a little confusing, but anyway,
I've been called worse things than that. That doesn't bother me.
I know you should hear the things DC Hendricks calls you.
I know.
We'll blame him because he's not here. Okay. So let's talk a little sports. Ball State. Mike New has done an unbelievable job with this football program. They did what was unexpected last year. I think people thought they would be a competitive team. Would they be a MAC champion? I don't know that that was expected unless you're just a very rabid Ball State fan. But this year, I think it's expected. They've moved the program to that type of credibility, and it's exciting now in Muncie.
Yeah, no question. I mean, as a Ball State fan, I've told people this is probably the most obnoxious I'm ever going to be leading up to a season as a guy who obviously went there and loves that place and you know, loves following the team. Yeah, you're absolutely right. You go from the Hunters to the Hunted. They were just picked at MAC Media Day last week, not only to win their division but also to win the championship game and repeat. You'd like to think that they've got the talent there and the experience with that roster. I think they got 20 seniors coming back from last year's team and only lost a couple of guys to the NFL. But I mean, you bring back your starting quarterback, your two best receivers, pretty much everybody defensively other than Antonio Phillips, the cornerback, is coming back. And you got a stacked offensive line and a stacked defensive line led by Curtis Blackwell from Norwell on the offensive side of things. So, I mean, the talent is there for them to have another awesome season. It's going to be cool to see. The winning the MAC is going to be difficult. I don't think people realize how good Toledo is, how much they have coming back, how good Western is. They're always good. It's going to be difficult to win the league, but it's going to be cool to see Ball State gets an opportunity week two of the season to travel to Penn State. And I don't know that Ball State will be ranked to start the season. They could be receiving some votes based on what they bring back and how they finished last year and beating a ranked San Jose State team the way they did in the Arizona Bowl. But you could potentially have a ranked Ball State team and a ranked Penn State team going at it in Happy Valley week two. And to have that kind of platform and that opportunity for a program like Ball State would be really, really cool to see and could be a once-in-a-lifetime kind of thing.
How obnoxious are you and Justin, with Justin being a Wisconsin guy and the Bucks just winning the championship and now Ball State with such high expectations going into the football season? How do your coworkers deal with it?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know how my coworkers deal with the two of us just in general, let alone when it comes to sports. Thankfully, they've shown some grace there over the 4 years that him and I have been here together. But I mean, all you have to do is follow me on social media to realize, and follow him on social media to realize how obnoxious we are about our teams. And you know what? He has every right to be obnoxious after what his Milwaukee Bucks pulled off last week. And now Aaron Rodgers has come back to lead his football team. So we're both in good places right now. Albeit I'm a Cincinnati Reds fan, so I've got that I've got a negative going for me there. But overall, I think our the teams that we cheer for are in pretty good spots.
You know, you mentioned 4 years together with Justin. In the last 4 years, and I don't know if you've ever really stopped to think about this, was there a moment in local Fort Wayne sports that stands out to you over the last 4 years, something that you've covered that you just thought was the pinnacle moment of your career here in Fort Wayne?
Yeah, I mean, it's easy. It's an easy one because it just happened, and there's probably some recency bias, but I really don't think anything can top the Comets winning the Cup last month. I mean, I've never seen, and I said it on TV, I went live. First time I've ever done anything like that on live TV. I went live on the ice 10 minutes after they won the championship, literally moments after they got presented the cup, and was running all over the place. My camera woman, Kelsey Mannix, was doing an awesome job. And it's just, you know, I talked to Sedlowski and David Franke and Anthony Nellis right there on live TV a few minutes after they win the cup. And that's just an adrenaline rush that you can't get anywhere else with the way that building, I've never seen an atmosphere like that, both in game three and in game four. I've never, and I've been a sports fan my entire life, I've never been in a building that loud, I don't think. And so that's a really hard moment to top. I guess the other one that comes to mind, just because of how unbelievable the game was and how memorable the game was, probably Bishop Blinger football's state championship where they won it in, I believe it was four overtimes. I can never remember if it was three or four, but that was a pretty memorable game to cover as well. But I'd have to go with the Comets, Brett.
So let's find out a little more as we talk to Peter Hood from Fox Fort Wayne. Where do you call home? Where are you from?
I'm from Indianapolis. I was just telling Caleb off the air. I'm from the east side of Indianapolis, so I went to Warren Central High School.
Okay, pretty big football program, big school. Class 6A
yeah.
Program. Did you play sports?
I quote unquote played soccer my junior and senior year. So I played basketball all through elementary and middle school growing up. And once I got to high school, all the guys on the basketball team were 6'6" with impressive verticals, and I was 5'5" with a less than impressive vertical. And I kind of realized that basketball was not going to be in my future at the high school level. So I stopped playing basketball, and one of my best friends at the time was the goalkeeper for the soccer team. I had played soccer when I was little. So my junior year, he convinced me to come out for soccer. I hadn't touched the soccer ball in like 12 years at that point, and I played sparingly my junior and senior year.
Who influenced you to get into sports broadcasting?
I guess first I'd have to say my dad. I mean, the reason I got into sports to begin with was, it was always on TV growing up. You know, my dad was a huge Cincinnati Reds fan, huge Purdue fan, Colts, Pacers, you name it. And so I just kind of grew up around it and went to a ton of games. And, you know, I guess my dad is the reason I fell in love with sports. And I was fortunate when I got to high school. We had both a journalism program and a student-run radio and TV program at Warren Central, one of the best student-run programs in the state for radio and TV. And I was able to get my feet wet a little bit with broadcasting. Dan Hinn was the instructor there. He asked me. I was in science class my sophomore year, and it was my beginning semester of radio. And Mr. Hinn, who was the instructor, came to pulled me out of science class and said, "Hey, the play-by-play guy for the women's basketball or the girls' basketball sectional game tonight just said he can't make it. Do you want to do the broadcast?" And I said, "Sure." And that's kind of when I fell in love with broadcasting. And then, you know, in high school, I started to do a little bit more TV stuff, and I did an internship at Wish TV my junior year, leading to my senior year. And that's kind of when I shifted my focus from radio to television and really fell in love with the local news aspect. So I guess multiple influences, but I'd have to first and foremost credit my dad, because if it weren't for him, I probably wouldn't be a sports fan.
And so you mentioned you're a fan of the Cincinnati Reds. I assume, since you mentioned Pacers, Colts, you're still fans of the Indianapolis teams?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've been watching them and rooting for them since before I can even remember. I mean, there's pictures of me, with a diaper and a Colt shirt on, a red shirt on, whatever. So, I mean, before I can even comprehend what football was, I've been rooting for them, and we'll be doing so until the day I'm no longer here.
Talking to Peter Hood, he is joining us from Fox Fort Wayne as we continue with our TV Sportscasters Week. All right, so the only other big news, I guess, that's happened this week, and one thing about TV is you don't really get the time to express any kind of commentary on some of the big events that happen in sports, but I think this is pretty newsworthy because it's where we're at as a society, and you see the polarization of this. Just interested your take on the Simone Biles situation, the fact that she walked away due to her own concerns about mental health and her issues. And she's taking quite a criticism for it. There's a lot of people on social media not at all happy with her for making the decision to walk away. You're somebody that's grown up in sports. You've played sports. You understand the mantra. You tough it out. You suck it up. All those things that we're taught as athletes. But this had to be a tough decision for her. Did she make the right one?
Absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, it was what people don't understand is it's a team competition, and she felt like with what she had been doing, especially that vault that she had yesterday, she felt like she was hurting her team, and she was. I mean, her scores were actually hindering her team, and I think it takes an incredibly because listen, I mean, sports is all about egos. I mean, everybody in sports, every accomplished athlete you're ever going to meet has an ego. It's just what it is. You can't do what these athletes do at that high a level if you don't have an ego. And for her to be able to put that aside and realize, all right, I don't have it today. I'm gonna step aside and I'm gonna let my teammates have the spotlight. I thought it was an incredibly admirable thing to do. And on top of that, gymnastics is one of those sports where, and I heard someone, I think it was on Colin Cowherd's show saying this earlier, if you're not 100% mentally locked into what you're doing, you're at a severe risk of injuring yourself. I mean, imagine being 10 feet in the air and you don't know where you're going. That's what she did. I mean, she got lost in the air. I mean, that's an incredibly dangerous spot to be in. And if you don't feel like you can mentally put yourself in a place where you're pretty much guaranteed you're not going to hurt yourself on the next thing that you try, I don't think that you can put yourself in that position and sleep all night. I mean, I think she absolutely made the best decision for herself and for her team, and I think she should be commended for it. And hopefully, I think selfishly as sports fans, we would like to hopefully see her back in the games and some. I know she pulled out of the all around, but hopefully she can compete in the later events. But I do think Brett, you're right. We have moved to this point in society where people are more willing to open up about their mental health, particularly athletes. We've seen it over the last couple of years, and I think ultimately that's going to be beneficial for all athletes moving forward to be able to open up about that stuff.
Was Fernando Tatis Jr. a tin cap your first year?
Yeah, he was, and I actually got to interview him the last interview he ever did before he left Fort Wayne. I remember talking to him in the batting cages. And thinking to myself, this dude will probably be an all-star and an MVP candidate in a couple of years. And fast forward, and obviously here we are, and he's been okay for himself since then.
Do you have that tape saved?
We have that video in our archive. I think I archived the full interview, so I haven't looked at it in a while. But he's always been comfortable in front of the camera, but he hadn't done a whole lot of interviews at that point. That was maybe like the third or fourth interview he had ever done. Obviously we talked to him quite a bit that summer with the tin caps, but now obviously I'm sure he's a lot more comfortable. He probably gets interviewed a little bit more now than he did back then.
Huh, pretty cool experience. All right, Peter, always appreciate you jumping on. We'll you know, the door's open. You got something you want to spill your guts on, just let us know here.
Well, Brett, I love hearing myself talk, and that's part of the reason I'm in this business. So you know I'm always willing to come on and share my thoughts, even though there's probably not a single soul out there that cares about them.
I don't know what you just said, but I imagine you enjoyed saying it. So, Peter, take care, man. Have a great time. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Brett. Appreciate it.
That is Peter Hood, Fox Fort Wayne, joining us on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. Oh, it's always great when guys that have a face for radio make it on TV. I don't know if he's got his radio on right now. It's always fun when we hang up, we can say what we really want to say. We're going to go roll into a second hour. Man, is it going to be packed in the second hour. We've got Joel Erickson from IndyStar who's going to join us to talk about the Indianapolis Colts. We also have giveaways. We've got two tickets to the Black Crows. They're coming to the Ruoff Music Center down in Noblesville. We've got that we'll give away. We've got a four-pack of tickets to the White Sox game. What is it? The White Sox game against the Kansas City Royals on August 5th. We'll give those away. And it comes, of course, with the parking pass. It's a White Sox Wednesday here on the Sports Rush. Don't go anywhere. We're back right after the top of the hour on the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.
Podcasts by Federated Media.